And you are listening to Law and Gospel on this January the 13th in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Tom Baker. And normally on Tuesdays, which is Ruminations, where we look at a hymn, we have our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith, but he just phoned me about an emergency that he has to deal with, so he probably will not be here this morning. So we're going to be taking a look at The Only Son from Heaven. But I want to introduce it by telling you that you had an opportunity to win $4,000, or maybe even $40,000. How? Well, Ohio State lost its first game in the season. The Vegas odds was 40-1. So if you had put $100 down that Ohio State would win, you would have made $4,000. If you had put $1,000 down, you'd make $40,000 because last night they won. They won against a team that nobody thought they could beat, Oregon. In fact, they won three games in a row where they were playing against players who had been highly acclaimed, and yet they won each time. Urban Meyer is the coach. And why am I bringing up Ohio State? Well, first of all, my wife has two sisters who live in Ohio. One of them lives in Columbus, in fact. And when her husband was living here on Earth, they went to the games because they had season tickets. And they were so excited. If you want to see a town that loves their team, just go to restaurants or anywhere in Ohio State. When we visit her sister, we often go to a Chinese place. And a lot of people are wearing Ohio State jackets and so forth. They just love their team. Why am I bringing this up? I thought today we're supposed to be taking a look at a hymn. Well, we are. It's called The Only Son from Heaven. It was by Elizabeth Krieger, C-R-U-E-I-G-E-R, who died, what, last year? No, in 1535. She only was 35 years old. She had been born in 1500. So it was clear that she was there during the Reformation. Elizabeth Krusiger is her name. The Only Son from Heaven. And in this particular hymnal I'm looking at, they subtitle, put them in categories, and this is the category of Epiphany. What is Epiphany? Well, you see, when Jesus Christ came into the world, it was not obvious that he was the Christ, the Son of God, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, very God of very God. In fact, if you knew about him, it was very strange that you would come to the conclusion, this is the Messiah. So after the season of Christmas, we begin the season of Epiphany, where Jesus manifests himself as he truly is. And that's how I tie this into the Ohio State football team. Very few people gave them a chance after their first loss, and it was even at home. They lost to a team that I think ended up losing six other times. That team did. But after that loss, Ohio State won every game. But for a while, they weren't even in the top 10. Then there was a big controversy among certain teams as to whether they should be in the Final Four. And they beat out two teams from Texas who thought they should have been in the Final Four. But unfortunately, they hadn't had a game between them to see who was the best, etc. So Ohio State got put in there. Well, those people who chose Ohio State, they certainly had their choice vindicated. Because people didn't even think they would beat Wisconsin, and they beat them. And then two other teams that nobody thought they could beat. In other words, Ohio State manifested its true self. It was an epiphany. For the word epiphany means to manifest, to make yourself known as you truly are. How many movies have you seen I just saw one recently. Husband and wife, happily married, and their child is abducted. And the husband doesn't know what happened. But when the police make their investigation, they find out that his wife had been involved with drugs and other activities, which we can't say on the radio, before she married him. He had no idea about this. He didn't even know his own wife. And of course, he was very angry at her because it was felt that the child was abducted because of people that she once knew. She had kept a secret from him. It's really hard to get to know somebody, even if you're married. Now, getting to know that person is known immediately by God because he can read hearts. Remember Nathaniel? Not only did he know that he was under the tree, but he also knew that he was a man of integrity. And Nathaniel regarded that as showing that he must be the Messiah, because not only is he omnipresent in knowing where Nathaniel was, but he's omniscient in understanding what kind of man Nathaniel was. So every time Ohio State played, we tried to watch it in St. Louis, and then we would phone Louise's sister, and we say, O-H, she'd say I-O, O-H-I-O. And it was just so obvious that that team was coming along. They were manifesting themselves. They were revealing themselves for the team that they really were. And I'll tell you, you turn on any sports show today, they're going to be talking about it. And they would talk about it for about another 3 weeks if it wasn't for the Super Bowl, because that's going to become more important, obviously. Well, during the season of Epiphany, if you listen to the readings carefully, you will see that the readings have been chosen in order that Jesus might be made manifest as to who he truly is. You see, when you read the Bible, Jesus appears in an ambiguous way. What? He's God, but he doesn't know when the end times are? A woman touches his garment, and he said, "Who touched me?" He goes to Nazareth and is surprised at how many people he can't do miracles because of their lack of faith, and he's surprised at that. What kind of God is this? Well, of course, that's explained with the two states of Jesus, his state of humiliation and his state of exaltation. Philippians talk about that. When Jesus came into the world incarnate, he humbled himself in not making use of his divine attributes. Sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. The point I'm trying to make here is that if you had seen Jesus lying in that manger, there would have been nothing about him where you would have jumped to the conclusion, this is the Son of God. This is the promised Messiah. The only reason the shepherds and the wise men worshipped him is not because of what they saw, but because of what they heard. This is really important to understand. The Pharisees, when Jesus was on the cross, remember they said, "Hey, come on down from the cross, and when we see that, we will believe." That's how every religion, they need to see, and then they believe. But in Christianity, you need to hear, and then you believe. And what do you hear? Not the word of God, because the law is part of the word of God, and it never saves anybody. But the gospel does. The gospel alone, which are the promises connected to the historical events of the scripture as to how God saved his people. The greatest salvation event in the Old Testament books is the crossing of the Red Sea, entering into the promised land as God promised. The greatest event in the New Testament books is Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, where he helps us to cross into the promised land. He does more than help us. He does it all. So this hymn, "The Only Son from Heaven," notice how quickly the person who wrote this, Elizabeth, how quickly she moves to the Word of God. the only son from heaven, foretold by ancient seers, by God the Father given, in human form appears. Do you know that at the bottom of the page, there are 4 Bible verses quoted. There's actually about 40 of them. The only son from heaven, well, that's a Bible verse, foretold by ancient seers. Boy, you've got David in Psalm 22. You got Isaiah 53. You got Moses in Genesis 3:15. I mean, many, many, many Bible verses by ancient seers foretold about the Son coming from heaven. By God the Father given. That's a Bible verse. In human form appears. How many Bible verses did we look at during Christmas? No sphere his light confining. What does that mean? You see, we encourage you to take the hymns that are going to be sung on the following Sunday and go over them with your children. They don't understand no sphere his light confining. For example, the moon can hide the light of the sun. We call it an eclipse. But there is no sphere, there's nothing in creation that can hide the light of Jesus. Now, sometimes it becomes apparent, like at the Transfiguration. But it is also apparent, particularly through the Word. The Word, yes. Why did the thief on the cross say, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom"? There was nothing that he could see on the cross that would move him to that declaration, but what he heard moved him to faith in Jesus. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My God, why have you forsaken me?" No. There's no doubt that through the words the thief heard, the Holy Spirit created faith for him to say, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." No star so brightly shining as he, our morning star. Yeah, when you get up in the morning, a lot of times you wake up, and I always look to the window. If it's still dark, I go back to sleep. But if I see it light, maybe time to get up, take a shower, get ready. Who knows? But Jesus is the only star from heaven. The point I want to be making with this hymn is the epiphany of Jesus does not come about by us looking at him. We don't come to the conclusion that he's the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, with our eyes, but instead with our ears. Stanza 2. O time of God appointed, O bright and holy morn, he comes the King anointed, the Christ, the Virgin born. Wow. When the fullness of time had come, that's a Bible verse, then Jesus comes, O bright and morning star. He comes the King anointed, the Christ, the Virgin born. Wise men, perhaps even kings in their own area, came and they worshiped the King of Kings. Why did he come? Grim death to vanquish for us, to open heaven before us and bring us life again. Now, wow, you could just spend 5 sermons just on that. Grim death to vanquish for us. But we still die, but not eternally. Those who trust in Jesus, therefore, are never forsaken by the Father. They never experience eternal condemnation. He vanquished it by taking upon himself the curse of the law. In the day that you sin, you shall die, which means being separated from the Father, and the Father forsook him. Why? To open heaven before us. Well, we saw that in his baptism. When the heavens open and the Holy Spirit alighted upon him, guess what happens at your baptism? According to Peter, you get 2 gifts, the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which brings us life again. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Stanza 3. O Lord, our hearts awaken to know and love you more. In faith to stand unshaken, in spirit to adore. That we through this world moving, each glimpse of heaven proving, may reap its fullness there. See, this is what happens. What faith is creating me a clean heart, O God. Our spiritual heart awakens in order that we might know Him more and therefore love Him more. So in faith to stand unshaken, why? Because we know that we are always being blessed by God. Remember the definition I like to use for blessing, God keeping His promises. That's what we're talking about, God keeping His promises. And that's what He's going to do. That's why we're always blessed, because He never breaks His promises. So each glimpse of heaven proving may reap its fullness there. We experience a heaven here on earth. It's being part of the Holy Christian Church. And that heaven on earth is just, a tiny fraction of the heaven that we will soon experience. That's kind of what we're really talking about here. The last stanza has a triangle in front of it, which means it's talking about the Trinity, and therefore the congregation normally stands. O Father, here before you, with God the Holy Ghost. Well, that reminds us of Jesus' baptism. He was standing in the water. The Father said, "This is my beloved Son," and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, descended and went into Him. So, O Father, before you, with God the Holy Ghost, and Jesus, we adore you. O pride of angel host. Now, your children may not understand that. What does it mean, pride of angel host? Well, what did the angels sing about to the shepherds? You know, the angels gave the first Christmas sermon. They gave the first Easter sermon. They gave the first Ascension sermon. Because they were proud of God, and particularly of Jesus. Before you mortals lowly cry, holy, 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 O blessed Trinity. You see, we are lowly mortals. We can see that by sight. But we cry, holy, holy, holy. Why three holies? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, O blessed Trinity, which is simply a word, three in one. Three persons, one God. What we see from this hymn, written by Elizabeth Krusiger, is an epiphany, a manifestation, a revelation that Jesus is indeed the promised one on the basis of the words of Scripture. The only Son from heaven. Now, we heard the first verse. Would you like to hear the other verses? Let's go ahead.
Before you mortals lowly cry, holy, holy, holy.
That's a beautiful, beautiful rendition of The Only Son from Heaven. Please, phone your church about Wednesday. By then, they should have decided what particular hymns they're going to be choosing. And when you phone them, then take a look at those hymns. I pray that you have a hymnal from your church also in your home so that you'll be able to take a look at this hymn. Go over it with your children. Occasionally, I'll be in the pews, not very often. But it's really wonderful to see little children singing these hymns. And they did so on the basis of God's holy word. By the way, we now have available all the programs, radio programs from 2014, on one DVD. There are over 200 of them. If you're all interested in obtaining one, just phone us at 1-877-267-1962. That's 1-877-267-1962. You can also email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. And we're going to be giving out all 200 programs on a DVD for $20. So if you're all interested in that, then we certainly encourage you to do so. And as indicated, we're still raising money because we pay KFUO to be on the air here. So we do want you to give consideration. If you do send money for us, which will go to KFUO, the check needs to be made out to Law and Gospel. Law and Gospel. And we'll be only too happy. If you want to know the address to send it to, you can take a look at our website under contact. That's lawandgospel101.com. That's lawandgospel101.com. And we'll look forward to Pastor Mark Smith being back next week. And we pray that everything will be okay. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we're going to be doing something that you might find interesting as we take a look at, just as a physician will not give you the treatment of what is necessary until he diagnoses you, so also Law and Gospel works that way. In fact, if you'd like to be part of a Bible study, we're going to be at Emmanuel Olivet at 11 a.m. this morning. That's at 9733 Olive. You just go east from Lindbergh about, a half a mile, and it's the second church on the left, Emmanuel Olivet, 11 a.m. We already have individuals who are not members of Emmanuel attending, and we would love to see that grow. And we're going to be taking a look at law and gospel themes. And we also have handouts, and I got a great handout today that you can take home and study. See, Law and Gospel is more than just learning the content. It's how to apply it. And so, depending on a situation, what gospel do you use? You don't use the same situation for somebody who is caught in sin in contrast to somebody who's thinking about committing suicide. You use different law. You use different gospel. And we're going to be going over that at 11 a.m. at Emmanuel Olivet. This is a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation. Its services, by the way, are on Saturday at 5 o'clock, and then on Sunday at 8 a.m. and 10:30 with Bible class in between. And we certainly encourage you, if you don't have a church home, we'd love to see you there. We'd love to see you there because law and gospel is really what the Bible is all about. Those are the two parts of the Bible, not the Old Testament and New Testament, but law and gospel. So, if you're all interested in getting every program from last year on a DVD, which is played on a computer, don't hesitate to give me a ring or ask about it on our website. Namely, our email address is lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks so much. Tomorrow, as I indicated, we'll be taking a look as to what gospel a person gives depending on the situation with the person with whom you're talking. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.